Thank you. That was powerful. Thank you very much. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That was quite a vision Ezekiel had, wasn't it? It's pretty powerful when the word of God speaks to you. And God speaks to us this day through his word. We are on the fifth week of our Lenten series, Journey of Faith, and now we are ready to take our next step. Have you noticed how this sermon series has become very personal? At least it has for me. I started with the recognition of my sin and a need to trust God's authority and salvation. And then after I accepted God's provision for my salvation, God helped me to take the next step of moving more intentionally into his plan and purpose for my life as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. My next step of faith was in deciding if I'm going to trust and obey God or complain about God by acting and talking as though God is not with me. Last week, we examined who it is we look up to help us make our day-to-day decisions. And the step we take today is how to wait through the dry times. As you read the Bible, you find that all of Scripture demonstrates the power and the authority of Almighty God at work in the people of God. For example, in Ezekiel's passage today, the very breath of God puts flesh and blood and life into dry bones. Psalm 130 that Melanie read earlier, we can pray and trust our souls and our lives into the hands of God who not only offers hope, but provides hope. From Genesis to Revelation, throughout the Bible, from the days of creation until that day when Jesus returns, God not only demonstrates his power and glory, God also demonstrates his forgiveness and his love. The world in which we live is not a play. Shakespeare said, "We are actors and all the world's a stage." We're not living in a play. We are not acting. We are living in God's plan. Your life, your personal life, is part of God's plan that started in the Garden of Eden, and God's plan will conclude when Jesus returns. Each one of us is part of God's plan. We are not actors, because this is for real. Our lives are for real. Jesus is for real. We worship a living God. He is for real. We worship God who is personally and intimately involved in our lives, and who is greater and more powerful than the challenges we face, than the heartache we bear, than the sins that coil around us and threaten our undoing. God is more powerful than death. God promises to all who accept and receive him the honor of being part of God's victory over the world. God promises hope. God gives hope, and that promise is given and kept through every prayer that we pray. When we keep our eternity of heaven in view, then we're never hopeless. God promises a new relationship, a restored and born again life with him. I found that before I turn in faith to God, before I accept and receive Jesus as Savior for my sins, I'm dead in my sins. Before I am born again through faith in Jesus, I am spiritually dead and every bit as dead as those dry bones that Ezekiel prophesied to. That passage in Ezekiel was a miracle. God shows us miracles today, and God shows us miracles throughout the Bible to assure us that God cares and that Jesus is still alive. God is still in the business of giving life, giving hope, and restoring a new and right relationship with him. God still keeps all his promises. All of the promises found in the Bible, God keeps. It's never too late for us to turn to Jesus and ask him to save us from our sins. Look around. We have so many reasons to be grateful and say thank you. That person sitting beside you is a reason that God gives you to say thank you. But the one tremendous and sometimes very dramatic reason that we have to say thank you to God is that God breathes his spirit into our lives so that we can have his life within us. That's a miracle of new life. And that miracle of God's life within us first happens when God nudges us to confess our sins and turn in faith to Christ. And then God continues to cause his spirit to grow within us and to put life into our dry bones, our dry souls. Throughout the Bible, throughout human history, throughout the testimonies and examples of people in the church, throughout your stories, God has proven over and over that he wants us to be restored to him. And God proved that to the fullest extent with the horrible crucifixion and then the glorious resurrection of his only son, Jesus. I found in my faith journey that the only reason that I have to be separated from God is because of my own rejection of God's leading. Sometimes I just don't want to do what God is obviously leading me to do. I'm either afraid or it just seems like it'll be too much work. Sometimes I just cop an attitude and say, no, I'm not going to do it. Whenever I reject God's leading, I usually go against God's law and always against God's plan for my life. Maybe you found yourself separated from God because of your own sinfulness, which you've neglected to confess. Maybe you are feeling separated from God because you're jealous. Someone is smarter than you, or better looking than you, or knows their Bible better than you. Maybe you're feeling separated from God because of the sinfulness or the thoughtlessness or the selfish decisions of another person. I've learned that if someone is acting thoughtless or selfish towards you, or even trying to humiliate you, that does not separate you from God. Might hurt, but it doesn't separate you from God. Whenever this happens to you, remember that God holds you in very high esteem, because the thoughtlessness and the selfishness and jealousy of people, that's what Jesus had to live with for 3 years until we finally nailed him to a cross. Romans 8, starting in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you, and God holds you in very high esteem. Do not think any less of yourself because of the way others act towards you. You might feel further from God, but you're actually much closer to God because you can understand just a little bit of how Jesus felt when he suffered and died on our behalf. It's difficult sometimes to see God's big picture when we're caught up in the details of our lives. It's difficult sometimes to see God's picture when we don't understand God's work in our lives. And at those times, we have to intentionally focus our sights, focus our minds, focus our hearts and lives, and trust in God's ultimate plan of saving our souls and the souls of other people. The Bible gives all sorts of accounts of people who were followers of God. God desires a personal and intimate relationship with each of the ones in the Old Testament for their sake, as well as for the sake of other people. He desired that same relationship with the people in the New Testament. And today, just like in the days of the Bible, God is committed to love his people, you. And God waits for the day when each one of us will freely and willfully commit ourselves to loving him. Some people do love God enough to begin to obey him. Some people are committed to a new relationship where we allow God to cleanse us from our sins. God seeks willing spirits who will continually love him and obey him, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the feelings, regardless of the clamor of all of the opinions that are all around us. As Christ followers, as part of Christ's body, the church, we are the ones who light the way for other people in a dark world as we prove with our lives that God is holy. We point people to Jesus. Jesus is the only light of the world, and it's through our work, our words, our actions, our love for Jesus that Jesus shines through us, so people can see the way to Jesus. We do it with our words. We do it with our actions. We do it with our attitudes. We do it with our day-to-day choices. Ezekiel 36:23 describes God's plan for our lives. I don't know how many times I've said, I wish I knew what God wanted for me. I wish I knew what God's plan was. Well, Ezekiel 36:23 says it. The nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. That's God's plan for each one of us. God still waits for some of us to receive him. God wants to clean our hearts. He wants to clean the fears. He wants to clean the hatreds and the resentments from our hearts. They're only a burden to us and weigh us down and separate us from God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to you in repentance. Jesus. Jesus, God's only Son, is the salvation that God makes available to us today. Jesus, God in the flesh, is the one who proved God's love for us on the cross. And Jesus today is the only one who makes us able to stand before God as holy and forgiven people. Jesus, through the faith he gives us to believe in him and trust in him, makes us righteous in the eyes of God. When God breathes his Holy Spirit into us, then we receive the joy of God's salvation. We receive a spirit that is willing to obey God no matter what the tests, no matter what the temptations are around us, and we begin to have a smile on our face.
Amen.
Here's the attitude that God wants us to have. Psalm 51:10. This is in the King James Version. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Sustain in me a willing spirit. For the people of Ezekiel's day, for us today, that means the false idols have to go. That means that the sinfulness of the people who claim to belong to God, that sinfulness will be dealt with by God. Only Jesus has the right to clean house in his own Father's house. God is jealous, and possessive of those who are his own. So when we choose to become Christ followers, God will dismantle the idols and the false kingdoms that are in our lives. And boy, that can hurt sometimes. When we're willing to humble ourselves completely before God, when we are willing to refuse to have any king other than the King Jesus, then God will transform our lives and we are home safe. We are home safe. The 23rd Psalm is a familiar psalm. Most of us know it by heart. The words, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Those words mean that God is very, very protective of you. Anyone who messes with you is in serious trouble with God Almighty. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 says this, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you." What that reassures us is, no matter how many times we go astray, no matter how many times we foul things up, no matter how many times we return to God asking in the name of Jesus, God will forgive us. God cares for you. You personally. And God says, you belong to me. You are my personal possession, period. No one can take you from me. God knows when your spirit is dry. God knows when you're discouraged. God knows. God knows when you are so overwhelmed that one more camel on your straw back will make you collapse. God knows when you are at the end of your rope and God is the knot in that three-braided cord that will keep you from falling away. God gives us stories. God gives us accounts in the Bible. God gives us other people around us so that we will trust in God to hold us and to strengthen us and to keep us from falling. God gives us each other and other people right in front of us to speak God's word to us, to encourage us, to push us, to challenge us, to pray with us, to comfort us, and mostly to love us as we become living examples of God's amazing holiness. There's a hymn that starts with the words, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise." God alone is wise. Do you know why? Do you know why only God is wise and there is not one single human wise, one wise human being on the face of the earth? It's because God knows the future. Some people claim to be good at guessing the future, but they're not wise. God alone knows the future, and God not only knows the future, God makes the future. God knows what to do. He knows what we need. Actively trust in God's grace and mercy. Seek God's grace and mercy to receive from God strength in your weakness, endurance when you feel like giving up, and light in the darkness. Take time to spend with God in prayer each day. Read your Bible. Look for reasons to thank and praise God every day, and don't give up. God is more than able. God is almighty. The Bible is full of the promises of God, and God always keeps his word. God is on your side. And God will keep his promises to you. You can dare to think positive. Ask God to fill your heart with hope. God will strengthen you and guide you and bring you to that place of hope and joy and peace and fulfillment. And by His grace, God will bless you with strength and understanding and patience and goodness and His peace. Let the people around you see that the Lord, He is God, the Almighty One. Let them see God as He is proved holy through the way you live your life before their very eyes. That's all I have to say about that. Thanks be to God.